Ready?
Yes.
Okay, council, let's please come back to order. Carla, would you call the roll?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman? Hales?
Here. And could you read the next item?
Item 997, extend a street closure program in the Old Town Entertainment District through parts of Northwest 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Avenues between West Burnside and Northwest Everett on certain days and during certain hours for a period of 1 year.
Thank you. I want to call up a panel of Chad Stover from my staff, Lieutenant Kruger and Howard Weiner, to discuss this proposal before us. I think as we all remember, this was a pilot project that Mayor Adams began with the Police Bureau in December of 2012, which we continued into this spring and then continued again. And quite a bit of work has been done by both the community and by the city to evaluate and prepare us to consider the decision now to keep going for a longer period and start to make this something that people can rely on rather than an experiment. So with that, Chad, why don't you take it away?
Sure. Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, Commissioners. In December 2012, City Council passed a three-month-long street closure, as the mayor just referenced, pilot program in the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood on Friday and Saturday nights between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. The street closure included parts of Northwest 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Avenues between West Burnside and Northwest Everett. The pilot program was an experiment initiated by the Central Precinct of the Portland Police Bureau as an attempt to cut down on crime in the area and decongest the streets. Previously, there were a high number of calls to police service in this area. The pilot program ran for 3 months, and as we neared the end of that three-month period, Mayor Hales adopted the program, and the questions became, A, did the pilot program work, i.e. cut down on crime, and B, if it did work, is it worth our while to continue with the street closure pilot? According to crime statistics, at the time of the completion of the three-month pilot, police records demonstrated that there was approximately a 30% reduction in crime, and there was an increase in the police-initiated calls to service. Under the leadership of Mayor Hales, this was compelling enough evidence to suggest that it would behoove the city to consider an extension of the street closure beyond the original three-month agreement. Certainly, ensuring public safety of our citizens in the area should be considered of utmost importance. However, rather than simply continuing with a street closure that solely focused on public safety concerns, conversations with stakeholders led the mayor's office to consider the addition of innovative initiatives that may lead to helping improve overall livability of the neighborhood. Through stakeholder input, it was decided that we could use the street closure program as an arena of experimentation, if you will, for the implementation of certain amenities and enhancements that may be beneficial and desirable to not only bar owners and restaurant owners in the area, but also to residents, social service providers, and others in this area. The mayor led three town hall discussions with Old Town Chinatown Community Association, including representatives from the local bars, social service providers, and business owners. He also participated on two midnight to 3 a.m. walkabouts with stakeholders, and Commissioner Fritz participated in the second one, in which a debrief with approximately 25 stakeholders took place after the walk, at the conclusion of that walkabout, in the basement of Central City Concern. By the time the original pilot came into completion, a list of directives for the extension of the street closure were put together by taking input from the stakeholders that represented positive changes that the community would like to see. They were listed as directives in Ordinance Number 186072, and this is the ordinance that came to pass after, as we reached the end of the original pilot back in May of this year. They included initiatives such as the following: improvement of signage and education pertaining to the street closure, improvement of the aesthetic appearance of the street closure itself, improvement of noise enforcement and other measures to improve neighborhood livability, the establishment of a nonprofit organization assigned with the task of overseeing the street closure of the entertainment district, the development of ongoing sources of revenue to cover the extraordinary costs of services associated with management of the district and the street closure. Ordinance number 186072 called for a six-month-long extension of the street closure, which is currently nearing completion and scheduled to sunset on October 27th, 2013. By the time we reached the end of September of this year, the Portland Police Bureau once again assessed the crime statistics taken from the summer. Lieutenant Kruger, acting captain, who is here with me today, is on hand to talk through these statistics in just a moment. It's important to keep in mind that from the onset of the extension, there was a certain degree of skepticism among some regarding the validity of the crime stats that we discovered at the end of the original pilot. We knew that at the time we saw about a 30% reduction at the end of the original pilot program, but we also took into consideration the fact that that pilot program took place during the cold months. And historically, everybody involved agreed that we see a much higher level of people, increased population on Friday and Saturday nights in the entertainment district area during the warm months. So this was compelling evidence to see how we did just in terms of crime over the course of an entire summer. During this time, the mayor's office established a $16,000 contract during this time over the course of the summer in this extended street closure pilot program, that is, established a $16,000 contract with the Portland Business Alliance to help fulfill some of the directives laid out in Ordinance 186072. As a part of this contract, PBA provided the following services to the entertainment district. Janitorial services, including clean and safe maintenance workers who are present during the hours of 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights, 2 European-style urinals, 10 smoke poles, and banners attached to the perimeter fences of the street closure that advertise and promote Old Town Chinatown and offer education on parking and safety. PBA recently announced up-to-date statistics pertaining to added amenities in the entertainment district as of a couple of weeks ago, and so I have some of those statistics here. But also on hand today, we have Lene Berg from PBA as well as Lisa Frisch, who have informed me that they have more up-to-date statistics. So in case you have any questions about what's happened more recently, they're here to answer any questions. But as for just a couple of weeks ago, we have the following statistics from those amenities that we added to the entertainment district. Out of our 2 European-style urinals, 370 gallons of urine were collected from the urinals.
You had to start with that one.
Says something about the science.
Gets better from there.
Oh, good.
It says something about the science of going to the bathroom, I guess. 10 pounds of cigarette butts using our 10 smoke poles. So people traditionally, we found, were just dumping their cigarette butts anywhere and everywhere. There was a number of trees planted around the street. They ended up being next to the trees a lot of the time, causing a lot of clutter. It wasn't very attractive, so we decided to add 10 smoke poles. We collected 10 pounds of cigarette butts, which is quite a bit. 63 pounds of trash, 13 bits of drug paraphernalia, and 121 biohazards. By the end of October, it's projected that we will come in under budget. So originally it was a $16,000 contract, but it looks like we're going to come in under budget by the end of this extension of the street closure. And currently the mayor's office will work with PBA to try to amend the contract so that we can use up the $16,000 to continue services for that duration of time. However, we will continue to search for a source of revenue if we wish to continue those services beyond that period. Over the course of the summer, the mayor's staff regularly attended Old Town Chinatown Community Association meetings, as well as nightlife subcommittee meetings to continue conversations with the stakeholders and bar owners regarding successes of the entertainment district, as well as discussions on community ownership and partnership with the city to make further enhancements. Also with me today, Howard Weiner, the chair of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, from this point forward I'll refer to it as OTCTCA, is here today to speak on behalf of the Old Town Chinatown community, and we'll hear from Howard in just a minute. Although some of these conversations were productive in terms of exchanging ideas and options, the establishment of a nonprofit management group to oversee the district, which, as I mentioned a moment ago, was one of the directives from the previous ordinance, has yet to come into fruition. As we neared the end of the street closure extension, the mayor's office negotiated for a timeline with OTCTCA for continuing to extend the street closure. In those conversations, we agreed upon a one-year extension. And on October 1st, 2013, the OTCTCA held an internal vote whether to support the continuation of the street closure for a period of 1 year. The OTCTCA voted in support of it, provided that a number of directives be taken into consideration. And if you refer to exhibit letter E in the packet that you have, you'll see a letter from the OTCTCA regarding that decision that they made, as well as some of the directives that they would like to see implemented and as we go forward in this one-year period with the street closure. All of this brings us to date. The present ordinance calls for a one-year continuation of the street closure guided by the directives laid out at the request of the OTCTCA. In essence, the same boundaries of the street closure will be utilized unless the OTCTCA comes to a consensus on certain weekends over the course of the next year that those boundaries will be shrunk or altered as they see fit for the sake of seasonal events. Also, it is understood that this one-year street closure will continue to place emphasis on making improvements to the overall 24-hour day livability of the neighborhood. That being said, I will turn it over to Lieutenant Kruger, acting captain, to discuss some statistics around public safety, and then to Howard Weiner, chair of the OTCTCA, to speak on behalf of the Neighborhood Association. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. Lieutenant Kruger, welcome.
Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. I apologize, Bob Day was unable to be here. The commander, he had some family-related conflicts, and so he was unable to attend today. As you're well aware, we didn't orchestrate or engineer the close proximity of the bars or the number of people that were coming down there, but as the police force, we're responsible for the public safety of those people. We were looking at innovative ways to try and make it more efficient and safer for everyone, including the officers that were down there dealing with those issues. We looked at some outside cities, Vancouver, we looked at Denver, we looked at Austin PD and some of the things they had done in their existing entertainment districts that had made things better for everyone involved. Some of those were being the street closures. What they had seen with those street closures were much what we had seen, which is a substantial reduction of crime across the board and a safer environment for all the people down there. One of the problems prior to the street closures that we were dealing with was heavy congestion upon the sidewalks and still heavy vehicular traffic into the area. It made it difficult for our officers to see. It made it difficult for our officers to get around. It made it unsafe at times for our officers to not be in clumps, which was one of the complaints we heard, is that our police officers were in groups rather than out mingling with the folks. In closing the streets and shutting off the vehicular traffic, it opened those things up and it reduced the pressure up on the sidewalks of people bumping into one another, the conflicts with the men and the women in those environments and some of the bravado that took place and caused issues. It gave us visibility as well down the streets. It allowed our officers the safety of being able to see one another and to be able to respond to stuff more quickly without having to navigate through traffic and the heavy crowds. In so doing, we've seen an increase in self-initiated activity as our officers were able to get out and about with the other folks. And as a result, we've seen a corresponding decrease in crimes across the board, other than in some of the self-initiated type of arrest situations like DUIs and some of the trespasses. So in a nutshell, it's been, you know, initially we looked at a three-month window and we saw roughly 33% reduction. Now we've got statistics here that I believe you folks have as well that show crime statistics from January to August.
And just for clarification, this is Exhibit D?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Under Exhibit D, you see that it is held at a 29% reduction across the board from the previous years. In Part 1 crimes, you see a substantial drop, Part 1 and Part 2 crimes. And then you can see in the smaller graph below how that's broken down to aggravated assaults, simple assaults, disorderly conduct, DUI, larceny, liquor violations, and vandalisms. We've received a lot of positive feedback from the people there in the streets that have come up to the officers. The cost to us hasn't changed. We need to staff and police that area, whether we have the streets closed or not. But it makes it safer for us, and obviously it makes it safer for the public, which is our focus.
Yeah, I want to just reflect on these numbers. So aggravated assault is down from 15 to 2, simple assault down from 43 to 21, disorderly conduct from 58 to 31, but DUI and liquor violations are actually both slightly up. My perception, let me check my perception against reality, my perception is that's a good thing in that you actually have more opportunity to apprehend people because there's a greater distance from when they leave the bar to when they get in a car. But I'm not sure if that's the case. It seems like, in other words, there's not any less drinking going on or any more drinking going on in the bar district. It's that you have a little more opportunity to interact with people perhaps in some cases before they get behind the wheel of a car. Is that what's going on here?
That's certainly part of it. You know, we have a partnership with OLCC, who is down there, and Multnomah County has a task force that Sandra, who's here, is in charge of, and she's been involved with the closure. And just the ability to see down the streets and to intervene early on in these issues has resulted in some of those numbers. And, you know, when those folks are being picked up ahead of time, whether it's a civil hold for detox or just contact with law enforcement at the front end of these things, I think that you are having a decrease in the amount of people that are climbing behind the wheel of cars as a result as well.
Yeah, good. And I just want to mention also, a lot of people in the decision-making roles here have spent some time out on the street with you and the Bureau staff that do the work. And Commissioner Fritz was out with me late one night. And actually, another one that I really want to call out is the chair of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Rob Patridge, who is actually the district attorney for Klamath County. So he had to travel some distance anyway to be up here for OLCC business, but actually went out with Chad and the police bureau very late one Friday night. I think he stayed out till 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's a volunteer job to be the chair of the OLCC, and yet he went, I think, above and beyond the call of being a volunteer on a state commission to do that, and I appreciate that partnership very much. Great. Questions for either of these two before we turn it over to Howard? Okay. Howard, you're on.
Thank you. And thank you, Mayor, and City Council. But thank you for staying up so late and coming down to Old Town. I'm not up at 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning unless somebody breaks a window in my business and I show up. A lot of the information you've already heard, but we started this discussion, just to give a little background, in the Public Safety and Livability Committee in October, about a year ago. Commander Day came to that committee and said, we have an issue that we all knew about, and I have an idea. And so we discussed this for a period of time and then moved forward. The goal was to reduce crime and really calls for service, because you had a couple of locations there that had the most calls for service in the city, and it taxes our policing. And that's been very successful. What's also been very successful is this collaborative effort that we've had. And I really want to make a strong point of how much you've worked with, the mayor's office has worked with the community. And I know, Amanda, you're a strong neighborhood activist and advocate. And that's just what has been going on. The relationship has been collaborative. We've had many meetings. You've shown up in the neighborhood. It's a difficult issue. When we talk about the street closure, whether or not we should even have a street closure or not is an issue in and of itself, and then what will that street closure look like? This has been an ongoing conversation now for over a year. There's some negatives that have affected businesses that we need to address. Some of the restaurants have complained. Some of the residents have issues with the noise, which you have will hear in a bit. But most importantly, I want to stress moving forward this idea of creating a SAC, creating a committee that is made up of folks from government and the community, and to really start tweaking when necessary this, I'll still call it an experiment, even though we're extending it for a year, this street closure. I do want to mention that there's only 6 licensees within the street closure, and there's 76 licensees within the whole Old Town Chinatown community. So the street, some folks have started calling that our entertainment district. Our entertainment is really throughout the community. And I want to make clear, as we start working on branding what Old Town Chinatown, what we want to call it, you know, what are our draws, which the Chinese Garden, Saturday Market, all of our Chinese restaurants, Asian restaurants, and others. We want to be inclusive. And of course, also, the fact that we have 2 historical districts within the neighborhood, the Skidmore Historic District and the Japantown District. So there's a tension. I just want to make everyone aware from all of these different folks as to what we want to see us become when we grow up. Right. We're the last bit of old downtown that hasn't been fully developed. There's lots of opportunity. We'll be talking about that more later. The one other thing that I want to talk about is going to be the cost. And that, I think, once we figure out the SAC, we're going to really have to dig down and figure out who pays the cost for this. It's my understanding it's approximately $4,000 a month for the janitorial services alone. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And that we're just going to have to figure out. We're a community association. We're not yet a nonprofit. That conversation is ongoing. There's folks, you know, that have ideas, but we're not there yet. My hope is by the end of this period, and given a year, I think is a good amount of time, that we'll resolve some of these issues, or we'll have thrown our hands up and said, we need help. We can't do this as a community. But we need that time. We need to continue with that collaboration. And our board is fully in support, and we will continue that effort at working along with City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions?
I want to thank you for bringing up that issue of the whole entertainment district. It's much more than the street closure area. And, in fact, I believe it's more than Old Town Chinatown. It also goes into the Pearl. It goes up to mm-hmm. the West End. Mm-hmm. So I wondered if you and the mayor would be willing to invite Pearl District Neighborhood Association and Pearl District Business Association folks to participate on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee.
I think that would be wonderful. We can cross-pollinate. We have other issues that were on the agenda that aren't any longer today that we'll need that cross-pollination as well. So,
there's no clear – well, there are neighborhood boundaries, but some of us prior to 2 months ago were not entirely clear where the boundary between Old Town Chinatown and the Pearl District is.
Yes.
And, in fact, it does – functionally, it's a unit. It has many concerns in common, and mm-hmm. as you say, there are that many more – licensed businesses in Old Town Chinatown than just in the street mm-hmm. closure area. There are many more restaurants and bars and entertainment mm-hmm. facilities in the Pearl District.
Well, and the more smart people at a table, I think the better. You know, it sometimes can be contentious because everyone's got an agenda. But yes, I'm supportive of that.
Thanks. Good suggestion. Other questions or concerns for these folks? Thanks very much. And do we have others signed up?
Yes.
I know we've got Lene. I see PBA folks are here, Clean and Safe folks are here. If we have any questions, I don't know if you signed up to speak. Let's take the folks that have signed up.
We have seven people signed up. And the first three, please come on up, are Jeff Geiger, Mark J. Hoff-Hines Jr., and Martin Soloway.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Geiger. I've gone out and filmed the police. I run a website called jgpolitics.com. I've filmed the police pretty much every Friday. I've come out Saturday. I wanted to talk about that. So police, due to the street being closed, are able to respond to things a lot quicker than they normally would with a congested street. I've seen them break up fights before they become fights. When people are in that stage of just yelling at each other, I've seen them come in and intervene. The police have had, they have a relationship with the security guards at the bars. When there's issues inside the bars, they will go in and deal with them. They also walk into the bars just to make sure that people know that, hey, the Portland police are here. I've seen them handle fights in which an individual had a weapon, had a knife, and they pulled tasers, they pulled their two of them pulled their guns out, and they dealt with it. The person complied, and they dealt with it in an aggressive manner that wasn't forceful. You know, they dealt with it, and it was dealt with very well. Also, it does seem that by being there, they have that interaction with the people that go there, you know, every weekend or whatever, and they have that, you know, now they have that connection to the community that a lot of people, I believe, don't have that connection. Because police are rolling around in police cars more often than they are out there. And to speak to the closure, which with how it's set up, the police, I don't know if you've been down there, the police sit at Northwest 3rd and Cooch, kind of in like a circle, and they can see pretty much a majority of the clubs that are in the entertainment district, and they can respond very quickly by being there. I mean, a person, again, like a person had allegedly stole a bottle of alcohol from a club. They had the guy ran. They had apprehended the person in 54 seconds. of running. So pretty much just want to thank the Portland Police for, you know, being very professional. And, you know, I mean, they do that job and they do it every day, but it's not very often you see it to see that sort of interaction.
Hmm. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mark's
up. Mark J. Offense, Jr., you care? Normally, I've been painted as a police hater. No, I'm not. Actually, I go out with Geiger and Mike Bluehair. On multiple occasions, I have actually had many interactions with these officers, and I absolutely love the way this is ran. Matter of fact, I believe that there should be a requirement for the rest of the force to actually spend time with these officers and learn how to de-escalate. Because these officers are so good at de-escalating situations in order to get citizens to comply. And they're drunk on a constant basis. These people that they're dealing with are drunk and belligerent most of the time. The closure, with it having the way it is, it allows for people to be safe on the fact that they don't get hit by cars. People aren't drunk driving and running into people. Even homeless people are actually, and I'm always throwing the homeless people in there, but the thing about it is actually the homeless people actually feel comfortable over there. And they feel comfortable in order to be there. But all in all, I commend you guys actually on making this move in itself, because the safety has actually come from doing this. And I'm actually proud to say this, that you guys actually are doing something really great with this. But I still, again, I just want to reiterate, I recommend highly that you guys set up a program to where the officers are required maybe once every quarterly to spend a weekend there and learn from these officers, because these officers that are down there are excellent, and they are very good personal people. All right?
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you for taking the time to come in and express your support on this issue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Martin Soloway. I'm the Director of Housing at Central City Concern. I'm also the Treasurer of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. And first of all, on behalf of the over 200 residents and staff at the Estate Hotel, I want to thank you for your support of the street closure and the other efforts to bring down the noise and the disruptive behaviors that contribute so much to the stress in their lives. The party environment on the street along 3rd Avenue is particularly challenging to our residents, and the impact of the closure has made a real difference. Having the cars gone has reduced the noise from the cars, the booming subwoofers, and the loud mufflers. As I think, you know, we all know, solving homelessness doesn't end with housing. It begins with housing. The people at the Estate are brand new to the project of creating a stable, self-sufficient life for themselves, and the stresses in the district are very hard on that project. And I guess, again, I just want to thank you for the many ways the city supports them in their commitment to building their lives, a better life for themselves. As to the ordinance at hand, I think it's important to remind everyone that the street closure is not the same thing as the entertainment districts that are being tried in many cities around the country. The boundaries for the closure were defined by dots on a map that represented criminal activity. It was not created by Commander Day and his team to address a specific problem. It was only created to address a specific problem faced by the police, and they are to be commended for a very effective solution. However, it's essential that we not allow the focus of this closure experiment to brand the district in the public's eyes that 3rd Avenue is the entertainment district of Old Town. Our neighborhood already suffers under relentlessly negative messages from the press. After months of meetings, one fact I've heard over and over is that this configuration isn't good for the clubs inside the closure, and it's not good for the bars and the clubs outside of the boundary, and it's not good for the restaurants in the neighborhood, and it's not good for the residents and patrons who park their cars in the neighborhood. It has been good for public safety, and it certainly has been good for our residents, which is great. But with all the resources involved, I think we should be able to do much more. We can and we have to act quickly to create a more balanced solution for the business interests in the neighborhood. And that leads to one of the concerns I have about the ordinance, which is that it locks the boundaries of the closure for an entire year. And we know it's not good for businesses, and we know that it's sort of reinforcing a brand and identity. So it's important that we start the conversation with the stakeholders. And I guess when we have the clubs and the restaurants and the venues and the community leaders around the table, they're going to come up with some very brilliant ideas, and we're going to need some flexibility in defining the configuration for a real 24/7 Old Town Chinatown Entertainment District. The discussion's ready to be had now. The possibilities are exciting. There's such a rich diversity of creative, cultural, and historic entertainment in our neighborhood. comedy, jazz, rock, blues, Chinese garden, and Chinatown restaurants, tours, donuts, markets, festivals, museums, parks, historic landmarks, shops, schools, galleries. There are so many components to a true 24/7 entertainment district. I want to thank Charlie Hales for the spark that has started this conversation, brought it to life, and I'm looking forward to the coming year.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your help.
Next three are Gloria Lee, Stephen J. Entwistle, and Chris Lenahan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're on first, Gloria.
Good afternoon. I'm Gloria Lee. I've been involved in the community since 2000 as a volunteer, and I'm also on the board of the Northwest China Council, which has an office in Old Town Chinatown. I participate in the Old Town Chinatown Community Association and many of the committees, and I'm here to really put a, same as Martin, to define what's perception and reality. The naming of Old Town Chinatown as an entertainment district carries a potentially self-fulfilling prophecy, which diminishes the identity and the historical characteristics of Old Town Chinatown. While this is a functional description, and we all understand it's an easy way to define it currently, the media and the public starts to see Old Town Chinatown in this light. It is not the focus of the district entirely, but is the result of an immediate need to address public safety, which, again, we've done very well. But certainly there is more to the district, the Old Town Chinatown Festival Streets, the retailers, the small businesses, and the nonprofits, just to name a few other segments of more than entertainment. Old Town Chinatown has suffered negative marketing and public relations over the years as media seeks to categorize the district. So the newly formed Old Town Chinatown Community Association is working to address those issues, and there are many, many partners from private to public to nonprofit to governmental working on the five-year action plan to create a sustainable, vibrant, balanced, mixed-use community. That message does not get to the public. So unfortunately, the media attention recently on Right to Dream, in addition to the street closure, is creating a dismal perception of Old Town Chinatown for businesses and residents. It takes this character of Portland's oldest area, and it sort of puts it in the dumpster, in my opinion. It increases the work of those of us who are now trying to promote Old Town Chinatown as a positive district with new happenings, such as the Travels of Tea, which is happening now at the Dow of Tea in the Lonsu Garden, the free movie night on the first Tuesday of every month at Red Robe Tea House, the many events that a lot of the Asian organizations hopefully are coming back to Chinatown with. And again, this is just a comment regarding perception and the need to be really thoughtful and careful about the messages we're sending out to the public, because the public is our potential new businesses, our potential tenants, our potential investors, our residents and property owners. I don't have a solution at this time, but I think the statement needed to be made, how we message.
Thank you. Good points. Thank you.
Thank you for, my name is Stephen Entwistle. Portland-born. Thank you for having this meeting today. This is really important. I'm concerned mainly with the residents that have been living in the area for some time, and I believe that there's a lack of voice for the people that are being bothered by the excessive noise, at least those that are still alive. I have issues with a lot of noise issues where I live, and it's very similar to the residents where they live, except we do not have police presence on our street. They're all down there. So when we have noise problems, we just have to, you know, we're brushed off, we're marginalized, and it goes unspoken and untold. And people suffer. And I had a friend that died mainly because of that. My solution, this is unsustainable. Okay, I don't mean to be the contrarian with all this. This is great that we're trying to do something good. I commend you all for that. But here's the but. It's unsustainable. Look 30 years down the road. Where are you going to be with this? With the residents as being the number one concern, rather than the businesses, rather than the money, rather than the alcohol sales, rather than all that. Where are the residents going to be with this? My solution is that we have a real entertainment district. There's a lot of construction outfits that would really like to get some work right now. There's a lot of people that are out of work. There's a whole section of town in the South Waterfront over by the tram on the south end of the Ross Island Bridge. That could be the South Waterfront Entertainment District. You have public transportation there. It's easy access off the freeway. All the buildings are new. They can withstand the noise. It would be a great draw. Didn't Sam Adams say something about having a beach like up in that area somewhere? That would be great. I think that's a great idea. In fact, you can turn the island into like a fantasy island, have a whole bunch of tours going through there, make a big difference and it would create a whole bunch of revenue. And that's what we need in the city. And I would talk to people like James Beard, who's trying to do this under the Morrison Bridge project, to kind of move things more towards the river. The buildings that are new over in that area, they can withstand the noise, okay? They're built tough. They're built to withstand the noise. The building that I live in doesn't, okay? We have to have our windows open. We don't have air conditioning. It's built in 1911 or something like that. We need a new, real entertainment district, and I believe that we need to create one. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Afternoon.
How you doing? My name is Chris Lenihan, and I am a author. I wrote a book called Little Black Bar Book on how to build bars and nightclubs. I've worked in entertainment districts all over the world. Recently, I just helped to develop a $600 million project in Lincoln, Nebraska, where they built a brand new entertainment district. I also own three venues downtown, Dirty being one of them, Splash Bar, and I was the original owner of Barrel Room. So being an experienced professional in this, you know, for the first time, I'd like to say working together with the police department, private business, has really been a nice, refreshing change for me. Usually it's an us and them kind of a mentality, so I'm excited to see that. The history that we've seen since we've been here as operators, we started 7 years ago, was we were basically chasing drug dealers out of our alcoves 7 years ago down on 3rd and Cooch. We've only seen a benefit to the bars. You know, my issue is I look into the downtown corridor on the northwest side, and it's a big dark hole. After 5 o'clock, pretty much everybody flees downtown. We're seeing that we're kind of the shining light. And if you go down there, you actually feel safer on the northwest side now than you do on the southwest side after 5 o'clock. Some of the issues that we've had to encounter dealing with down there is basically the drug dealers, the drug use. I mean, we see the meth, the black tar heroin, it's rampant down there. One of the greatest challenges that we see is that there's these drug dealers and that they prey on the homeless population, the homeless populace. We watch them peruse the lines for the homeless in the Union Gospel Mission. What we'd ask for is a little more police protection down there during that time to get rid of those drug dealers. I know we have a drug-free zone now, but it's like the wolves preying on the sheep down there. It's pretty sad. You know, we understand also the challenges of having an entertainment district and people living side by side. I built most of the nightclubs in Las Vegas for 15 years, so I built them in all the casinos, MGM Grand, Mandalay Bay. I did all the casinos there. One of the challenges we had was the livability of people sleeping and spending $200-$300 a night, and the loud noise, the excessive noise of the nightclubs there. We learned to work together, and we learned to develop strategies. One of the things that we'd like to see is Mr. Van Orden come down and work with us, come into our venues personally, and bring his sound equipment and his experience and be able to work with us to develop our own personal, just to be able to adjust those sound levels so that the people who do live in the area can have a better life experience that down there. I mean, we welcome that as business owners.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions for these folks? Thanks very much. Appreciate your testimony. Anyone else?
The last person who signed up is Helen Ying.
Good afternoon, Helen.
Good afternoon, Mayor. So I want to first thank you for the efforts that has been put into Old Town Chinatown, and it helps us to know that the city cares about that part of the city, which is a jewel that is waiting to shine. And I'm coming to you today to speak as a member of the of a NOMA task force called SNAP, and that stands for Safe Nightlife Advocacy Partnership. And what we want to share is that we are glad to see that the city is addressing many of the issues with this street closure, because it actually is intended to address that relates back to the binge drinking and risky drinking that's happening in the district. And what SNAP encourages is that for you to include reducing over-service and risky drinking in your planning. And we think that some specific strategies would be ensuring enforcement of the current laws, considering how we can reduce saturation of alcohol outlets, because research supports a balance of liquor outlets with other businesses that would help reduce crime, and also addressing over-service through server training and enforcement and messaging to patrons to increase safety in the district. So I think that will help with the overall livability as well as safety in the area if we also address that side of the issues. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? So questions, comments from council? We have some other resource people here if you have any further questions at this point. And this will, of course, pass to second reading. It's not an emergency ordinance. So.
I just wanted to say that as far as perception as the area is concerned, I think if people look at these statistics and see what strides you've made in reducing the amount of crime, that's going to improve the perception of the area. I also can't resist saying that one of my favorite facts about our current mayor is that he was once famously quoted as saying that Portland should be the best European city in America. And I'm glad that by using European-style urinals, he's fulfilling his goal.
Or whatever, 378 gallons closer to the goal, right?
So, Mayor, I'd like to introduce my friendly amendment to add the Pearl District Neighborhood Association and the Pearl District Business Association to Part C of the now, therefore, Council directs members of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee.
Friendly amendment accepted. I don't think we have to do that formally. We'll just add it to the ordinance.
Thank you. I do have just one question, and that is regarding the cost. In the financial impact statement, it says that the cost is $200 per weekend for transportation. We heard from the Police Bureau that there's no additional funding needed for that. However, the current street project has a $16,000 contract with the Portland Business Alliance for August to October for the janitorial services, and it says that during the pilot program or after it is complete, if it is decided that the services should be continued, a competitive solicitation will be conducted. So I'm just wondering what's the projected cost of a year pilot and how we're proposing to pay for that.
Chad, do you want to come up and discuss that? I think the short answer to the second part of your question is that we're still looking at revenue options that can be generated from the district to help pay the, as he said, extraordinary costs of extraordinary level of service. So that's a work in progress, but you may be able to illuminate that a little bit more and what is our estimate for the cost for the next year.
Sure. Yeah, I'll just try to clarify. I touched upon it a little bit in my opening part, but it was a $16,000 contract. We're coming to the end of the time duration for which that contract was to be carried out. As it turns out, we're under budget and by about $4,000, which equates to about 1 month's worth of all of those services that are part of the package deal for that contract. That includes the janitorial services. And part of the janitor's job, is, by the way, is to remove those two European urinals, take them down and clean them and bring them back, and the smoke poles as well. So if we can get that contract amended, given that we've come in under budget by about $4,000, theoretically we could go forward for about another month beyond the October 27th sunset. We're still confronted with the problem of carrying on those services beyond that time, after the, so theoretically the end of November. If you look at the total cost, it equates to about $47,000 for 1 year, which is about the $4,000 a month quote that you got earlier.
Where is that coming from?
We have to figure that out.
Yeah. And but where is it coming from now? Which line item have we been paying that $16,000 contract from?
That is a budget that came out of the mayor's budget.
Yeah, it was out of our budget.
The mayor's office budget?
Yeah.
But I think you have a problem in that it says the term of this contract shall not be extended. So
well, we can write a new contract with Clean and Safe.
Well, but it says that the competitive solicitation will be conducted.
Right. So if we conduct a solicitation and Clean and Safe bids and we select them, we can do another contract with them, just because this one says it's a limited duration.
Okay. I'm somewhat very supportive of this project, and it seems like it's been going well. It's provided public safety, and so I'm not saying that we shouldn't invest money in this project anymore. I still think that investing in last Thursday's safety has been a good investment of taxpayers' money. There are a lot of other business districts citywide that raise their own funds for their street parade, for their closures, for a number of other things, which I would hope in our next budget we would look at. You shouldn't wait until there's a problem before you support the business district that's providing these alternate places for people to recreate and providing them with city support. So as we're looking forward to the budget, looking at what's allocated here, what's allocated to last Thursday, we also ought to be looking about what's allocated to the Gateway Area Business Association and Cathedral Park Jazz Festival and other organizations that have done their own fundraising, but sometimes they've really struggled with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And also, you know, that there ought to be rough justice across the community about how much public support the city puts into street festivals and other events. I think the challenge that we see in this case, and to some extent last Thursday, and Chad has the privilege of trying to manage both of those projects in our office, is that particularly in this case, we didn't have a community organization come to us and say, we want to put on a street festival. We backed into this arrangement by the police bureau responding to an urgent safety problem and closing the street under that authority to say, we got to get this under control. And so we're, in effect, and with Howard and others in the leadership of the association, trying to grow in a petri dish the civic infrastructure that we need to keep this going after starting it as a public safety emergency. And I think we'll get there, and we are getting there. And you heard, I think, this great series of folks this afternoon about how much progress we're making in building agreement, and I love your suggestion about bringing the Pearl District in as well. And we've, frankly, tried to not be heavy-handed about utilizing the revenue tools that the city has at its disposal. We have authority to collect assessments and authority to collect parking revenues that we could use next week. But we've been methodical about that and trying to let the community work with us before we impose something.
Right. When we did the ordinance back in, I think it was December of last year, there was a component on it to have the Office of Neighborhood Involvement work citywide to look at other vibrant business districts, Hawthorne, 23rd, other places where there's a growing vitality and activity, especially on weekends. And I think we need to get ahead of those areas getting to have significant public safety challenges because of their success. Yeah. So I'd like to see that incorporated in this one-year pilot to make sure that the Office of Neighborhood Involvement working with partners is going to be looking at those issues.
Yeah, they will. And, of course, they're here. They haven't spoken this afternoon, but they've been integral to the success of this project as well. And, of course, now the noise office is part of ONI as well, and Paul's here. So I think what we've heard from the folks that testified this afternoon is that this team of people from multiple bureaus is doing a good job of working together.
That was my final point. And in fact, I am grateful to Teresa Marchetti, our alcohol specialist in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, for the excellent 10-page report that she did on this. I encourage you, Teresa, to send it to all members of council because it was very helpful to me. I think it should be part of the record for this
good,
case.
And good
I
idea.
Informed
yeah.
your decisions, yeah. Mayor. Mike Boyer and Jenny Pullen, who are the crime prevention specialists for Old Town Chinatown and the Pearl District, respectively, I think can also and have been, I know, been a wonderful addition. And then Paul Van Orden's work, all hours of the day and night, everywhere, all over the city, responding to noise complaints is greatly valued, and I hope that you're going to be able to get more support for that program as we can start looking at how can we expand services with additional funding next year.
I agree. I know police officers may go into the job thinking that they may get the night shift, but I'm not sure if ONI's staff or our noise officer knew that so much of their work hours would be after midnight, and I appreciate the extra service on all of your parts. Great. Further discussion? Then thank you all very much. Appreciate this excellent hearing and the good work that's being done together. This will come back on second reading next week. Thank you. Okay, we have one more item this afternoon. Oh, we have. Are we a little ahead of schedule? Let's take a 5-minute break and come back.
That's 3:30.
3:30. Right. The 35-minute break and come back.
Okay. Oh, darn, we can't speed it up.
No. We're waiting. No, you can't do that.